glad to have you worship the Lord today. We're starting a new series today. We're moving into the theme, obviously, of Christmas. Christmas is one of those times that can be very extreme. It can be very exciting or it can be very sad based on the journey of life or where you're at today. But I believe there's power in the truth of the Word of God that can cause us to reevaluate the situations that we deal with, that maybe you are, that we don't just look at them from the surface, but begin to see things that are not temporary, the Bible says, but eternal. So we can draw truth that maybe there is something in your life that just causes you to celebrate Christmas. I mean, if you're a child or if you have children or if you have grandchildren that age, they alone, the excitement, the awe of Christmas for them can stir us. But sometimes in our lives, we don't have those type of things that will build that energy naturally or excitement, emotional energy. And so the truth is that we don't have to be stuck in the rut of what life or circumstances hands us. We can learn to direct our ship by the navigation of the truth of God's word so that you can come out ahead in any situation. That there is something in this. David understood that even when everything seemed against him, he could encourage himself in the Lord. He had found a technique, a tactic, if you will, an avenue that he could turn the tables on the enemy when the enemy was trying to take him out. We have to learn the principles of God's word that I believe that God's called you to be more than a conqueror, an overcomer. Can I get an amen, church? You're called to be the head and not the tail. Can I get a better amen? You're called to everything, Psalms 1, you put your hands to, is to be successful. We talk it, we celebrate it, but not always do we see it. And I believe the truth of God's word is so powerful that God not only wants you to be aware of it, he not only wants you to understand it, he wants you to obtain it. Too many times in the church world, we become good, especially pastors, we become good at explaining, but not good at obtaining. And God just doesn't want you to be able to explain something. He wants you to obtain it. He wants that to develop a result, a change in your life. I believe that because Jesus referred to it as fruit. If you walk by a tree, you might not know what type of tree it is, but if you see apples, you don't have to know anything about trees to know that that is an apple tree. If someone says they see you from a distance, you might talk a good talk about being a Christian, but if we look just like the world, they might not know who we are. But when they see the change of the light of God's word in our lives in a way that's tangible, that those who don't know God, that those who aren't spiritually discerned, that those that don't know anything about Jesus, all of a sudden they see in the natural what God is doing in the spiritual. Too many times, in my opinion, we've allowed the church world to be a place where we celebrate a spiritual concept that has no natural manifestation. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus called you to be a light, not to those who are saints in your world, but to the world who don't know him. There should be a deciding difference between you and those who are in darkness. If you are in the light, if you are a light, then wherever you go, you can display, the Bible says, the goodness of God, the reality of God. That's not something that someone does that is in darkness can get, because the darkness of the carnal mind does not receive the things of God. There's no spiritual discernment. So there must be a practical application, a demonstration, if you will, of seeing something that God is doing in your life and through your life. Just not you bragging and faking it till you make it, but the demonstration, the reality that once I was blind, now I can see. You cannot argue that away. I don't mind people being atheists, because an atheist is only one experience away from having a revelation. They're only one God encounter away of being a Christian. They're only one moment away of experiencing God. I'm concerned about the people who come in and out of church all the time and say they're believers but really live like an atheist. Because they're around it enough that they don't even believe it anymore, because they're, oh yeah, I've heard that before. But there's no depth because they don't know how to pursue to receive what God has for him. I remember when you're as a child, and there's four of us, my oldest sister Shauna, then David, then me, and then Courtney. Courtney came many years later. She was a surprise child. And so life was good, and all of a sudden we found out when I was the youngest, you know, being the youngest is not so bad. I mean, being the oldest is always typically the best, but being the youngest is not so bad. And then you find yourself stuck right in the middle. How many middle children do we have? Now, I love all my siblings, but I can have a good time with them sometimes. If you're not a middle child, this makes no sense to you. You know, it's the older children always are the bosses. The younger children are always the babies, and they get what they want because they cry. And the middle children are just told to shut up. Right? Right. The parents always look to the older children, I need your help. They look to the younger children, what do you want? And then they tell the middle children, shut up. First 12 years of my life, I thought my name was shut up. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm joking. Shut up. Did you call? No, not you. No, I'm joking. I had good parents. But I remember one Christmas, and the tree's up, lights are on, and everybody's Christmas, and routines can be different. I remember one Christmas, my parents saying that they had the packages already wrapped and under the tree. And they said, listen, if you want, we're getting close to Christmas anyway. It's only a few days. And if you can find one of your gifts under the tree, we'll let you open it today. Oh, that's pretty cool. All we need to do is find our package under the tree, and they would let us open it today. So we get what was already purchased for us with our name on it that's under the tree. Now, if you... And they would let us know, if you don't want to do that, if you think it'll take away from Christmas Day, if it's maybe one present short, and you don't want to do that, you can wait. Look to your neighbor and say, you can wait. You can wait till Christmas Day, and then on Christmas morning, then you can have it. Yeah. Either way, there's not a wrong answer, is there?
Right.
But if you want it now, all you need to do is find your package with your name on it under the tree, and you can open it and have it today. Now, the reason I say that, and I keep on saying it, and I bring it around from different perspectives, is I want you to understand that's really kind of like the mind of God. God says, listen, I got so much stuff for you.
Yeah.
And when you get to heaven, you're going to love it. It is amazing. But you know what? If you can find your name, identify your name on it, under the tree, the cross,
come on.
You can have it today. Now, if you don't want to have it today, that's fine. If you want to wait, that's fine. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. That's where we get messed up in the church world. We start identifying people that maybe have it or have opened up a specific gift from heaven. And all of a sudden, we're like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Or I can't believe you haven't done that yet. And we'll begin to ridicule and judge. And that's just foolishness. Because the blessing, the gifts from heaven belong to all of his children.
Yes.
You didn't do anything to earn it. You do something to receive it. Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11:33. And so God, basically that's how I see it. Now people in the church world will disagree. They're wrong. That's okay. I still love them. Just lighten up. Are you going to laugh with me today or is this going to be a hard day? But the reality is there's things that God has for you that, one, you might not be aware of them. We're going to talk about that today. Today's title is Your Hidden Gifts.
Yeah. Right.
Your hidden gifts. Things that God has already purchased for you. And I'll give you scripture to back everything I'm saying. Because like always, I want you to challenge everything that's said with the Word of God.
Yeah.
Not doctrine you've heard before. Not, oh, my grandma used to tell me. Not, well, the church I used to go to used to say it. Let's just stick to the Bible. I'm telling you that God has hidden gifts for you. And they're available to all of us.
Amen.
Under the tree. And if you want, you can have them sooner than heaven.
Right.
You'll have them all on when you get to heaven. But if you want, you can have them before you get to heaven. Why would God do such a thing? I believe it's not only his generosity, but I believe it's a demonstration of his goodness wherever you go, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. That you become an aroma of the goodness of God, that people begin to see, wait a minute, it's just not when you get to heaven. You can, as Jesus told the disciples, pray, have the kingdom of God and the will of God done on earth as it is in heaven. That's mind-boggling. We can think, wait a minute, there's things that many people have sung songs in their church history. They have quoted and gave testimony about how good it's going to be when I get to heaven and walk on the streets of gold and how I'm going to be feeling good or how I'm going to have no debt or lack or how I'm going to do this or have peace and no torment or have these things that they know are available to them in heaven. And yet when we bring the context to earth, well, one day when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful time it's going to be.
Yeah.
But what if we bring that wonderful time to earth so that people that do not know God, or even so, people that have walked away from him,
right,
can be reminded? Many of pastors and preachers and evangelists have preached the message on the prodigal son. And they all typically emphasize on the son that goes away. And they don't emphasize on the son who stayed. But the son who stayed was just as jaded as the one who walked. Because the one who had stayed in the house saw himself as a servant and not as a son. And his lack of perspective on his identity to the father made a difference that not only impacted his life, stay with me, impacted his brother's life who had walked. Because the brother that stayed said, Father, all these years I've worked for you, I haven't disobeyed you, and yet you haven't even given me a goat, a better translation, to go to celebrate with my friends. And the father backs up and says, wait a minute. And it read between the lines a little bit, Greg Bruce translation. But he basically said it this way. He said, son, don't you, King James, son, didn't you realize that all that I have belongs to you? His inability to understand what was available to him hindered him from having it in his own life. How many Christians walk around in life and they're saying, God, why don't you? God, why haven't you? And God's saying, I already took care of it on the cross of Calvary. The question is not mine, but why haven't you? David Oyedepo is a minister in Lagos, Nigeria, one of my, what I call mentors from afar. I listen to him quite often. And his church is just changing his nation, a third world country. And yet in his part of the world, his auditorium alone seats 53,000 people. And he has 5 services on Sunday. Wow. And more, almost just as many people outside the building in overflow tents than inside. Wow. 18,000 employees. Wow. Schools, universities, Christian and secular, changing a nation. But he made a comment once that stuck with me. He said, any faith that puts the responsibility for a result on God alone is a faith that's irresponsible.
Right.
Too many times we're like, okay, God, back up the truck. I'm waiting for the beep, beep, beep from heaven to bring it to me. But the Bible didn't say the Lord is my shepherd, he will force feed me. It says he prepares for me a table. Well, that's in heaven. No, in the midst of your enemies. He has prepared a table of provision. He has a prepared, doesn't mean that God prepared a table for David so he could have a table to look at and say, ooh, that's a beautiful table. I wish one day I can have some food to put it on it. No. The principle, the truth behind it is that God has made provision, has prepared provision for David and for you and I, even when there's enemies, one translation says, they have to look on. Which means they can't stop it.
Yeah.
But even though if you've ever cooked before, you might create an amazing spread. You might cook an amazing meal and you might set it on the table. But what do you do after that? You call. You make a call. It's time for dinner.
Yeah.
Maybe at Thanksgiving you were with friends and they got the dinner ready. What do? They call people. And they're like, listen, stay out of the kitchen until it's ready.
Yeah.
But when it's ready, we'll make the call.
Right.
And when it's ready, we'll make the call. We want you to come eat. But don't come try to eat while we're still cooking, right? Don't get in the way. Some of our problems is not God. Some of our problems, we're getting in his way. We're trying to do what only he can do. Some problems you can't fix, no matter how strong your willpower. Some of us got to learn to relax and trust the Lord to do what he's supposed to do, and we're supposed to do what we're supposed to do, and somehow supernaturally by the power of God, it works out. And when God makes, when he prepares it, you know what he does? He makes the call. Some of us are in the next room watching football and saying, I'm still hungry. I made the call an hour ago. Where were you? You want me to spoon feed you? You wouldn't do that, would you? You would say, no, come on. Get in here. We're eating. God says, come on, I'm inviting you. I'm not going to force feed you. I can't force feed you. I need you to do something because faith, James says, without works is dead, which means does not produce a change. So my obedience to the call, my reaction to God's invitation brings me into a place to receive what he has.
Yes, sir.
But many times we're waiting for God to do everything. What's keeping you from opening your gift? Romans 8, verse 32. You can look in your Bibles if you have it. Open it up or you see it on the screen. Let me give you a perspective that the religious, and if you're a guest, don't misunderstand me. I'm not here to offend you. I'm not into religion. I define religion as man creating rules to get to God. I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. But many times in religion, you'll hear how God will say, oh, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Maybe God doesn't want you to have it yet. Maybe it's just not your time. What does the Bible say? Don't tell me what they're telling me. Tell me what the Bible says. And they're already ahead of me on the screen, so let me go ahead and read that. Romans 8, verse 32. He that spared not his son, referring to Jesus, but delivered him up for... Talk to me, church. Did God send Jesus?
Yes.
John 3, 16. For God so loved the world... Okay. Oh, you guys are awesome. Was that gift of Jesus given... just to a certain group, or was it given to all of us? Salvation's available to all of us, right? So the all includes you and I, right? All right. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? See, what happens is we try to get things from God without God. I don't want to know you. I just want you to fix my hang up. I don't want to have a relationship. I just don't like feeling bad for the bad things I'm doing. I don't want to get closer to you. I just want this baggage gone. I want you to do what you can do, but I don't really want to get to know you. See, when you try to get stuff from God without God, you are in a bad position. Because God, when he gives, side note, when God gives you something, catch this, God never gives you what he has. Stay with me. He always gives you who he is. So if you need a healing, he doesn't look around in a closet for a healing just for you. He's the healer. That's his life. That's his nature. And so what is he doing? He's giving of himself. So if you need a financial blessing, you're like, it's not like God's got to check a bank account to bring provision in your life. No, he is the shepherd, the provider, the Jehovah Jireh. He gives of himself. So when you understand that God doesn't give you something that he's got, he gives you something who he is. Because everything, I don't want to go down this road too deep. So when you begin to try to receive something from God without God, you get nothing. Because he is everything.
Yeah.
The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, catch this, also freely give us? Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life I begin to ask the Father, for something in Jesus' name based on the scripture. We go to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. And I begin to ask, and the devil begins to whisper, do you think he'll really do that for you? Has the devil ever done that to you? Wow, you mean he uses the same tactics on you that he has me? Has he ever said, oh, do you think you really deserve that? You're believing for a raise? You're believing for a better job? Do you think God really cares about that? Well, let me look, because Paul tells us to be content in any phase.
Right.
But content doesn't mean that you don't want to go forward.
Right.
Content means I understand that who's my source in every situation.
Yeah.
It just annoys me personally. It's my issue. I'll pray through it. I'm working. We're all getting better. When I hear preachers preach something that they themselves aren't living. Tell their members that they shouldn't, you should be content if you're struggling. God gave you poverty. Oh, yeah, well, let's see how you're living. Don't tell me that God doesn't bless people and Christians should be poor. You write a book about it and you've made millions of dollars on the book telling people that they shouldn't have money. I don't understand that.
Right.
Folks, it's easy. You got to look behind the curtain sometimes.
Right.
Okay, moving right along. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? All things. So you're telling me If God gave me something I'm asking for that could hurt me, that God will give it to me. Listen, if you can receive it by faith, because to receive it, you have to get it under the tree. All right, let me over-communicate. If you got to this point and you haven't understood that, when I'm saying under the tree, I'm referring to the cross of Calvary. Are we all on the same page? I don't want anybody walking out saying, Pastor must really like his Christmas trees. Everything's under Christmas trees. No. That was an example, a metaphor. We've done jump that track into the cross of Calvary, which means the covenant that God has for you. Because in the word saved or salvation, sozo or soteria in the Greek, it not only means that you are forgiven and that you have a relationship with God and that you are going to heaven and escape hell. It includes your blessing. It includes your healing. It includes all things that he has promised you through the promises of his word. So when the devil tells you, I know the Bible says that. But do you think he could really heal you? That he's going to give you healing? Well, let me look. Jesus already died on the cross. And if he sent Jesus to die on the cross, what is he going to say no? What is he going to withhold? In fact, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 20 tells us that the promises of God to you are yea and amen, which means approved and so be it. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, see the condition? Then you'll ask whatever you will and be done. That's why you can't go around God to receive from God. Because you have to be in God to receive from God. What things, and why are they hidden? Why are they hidden? He's got some stuff for me. Why don't he just, I get saved and I get a text, an instant message saying, welcome to the family. This is from heaven. Below you'll find an inventory itemized of everything's available to you. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice? But you know how God does it? Let me just tell you, according to the word of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man. Here's that word again, the things. The things which God has what? Prepared for them that love him. See, he hides them. He hides them. He hides them. Well, why would God hide them? Why would God hide them? Because you have to understand discernment and revelation, the kingdom of God. And this verse has just been sticking with me for weeks. The kingdom of God doesn't move with observation. It moves with revelation. That's what Jesus said. We talked about that already. You can not see it in the natural. See, those who are determined to only operate by what they physically see miss out on what God has for them. Because the things of God need to be discerned, have to be received, be understood from the truth of God, from the Spirit of God. Notice verse 10. But God has revealed them. He's what? He's revealed them. You need a revelation to understand what God has for you. Now, if you don't understand what God has for you, you can't receive what God has for you because you don't have the revelation of it. If you're not aware of it, we talked about that last week. I'm driving down the road going 45 in a new area on a new road only to see cars passing me. And I'm like, what are they doing? And then I noticed the speed limit was not 45. It was like 60. So I'm driving at a speed that I thought I was available to me, not realizing what was available to me is greater than what I'm doing. Some of us in our Christian life are living a life that we think is good, and it's not that you're a bad person, but wouldn't you like to know if there was more available to you? Yes. If you don't have to embrace everything that comes down the road of life. What if everything that knocks on the door, you have a Matthew 18:18, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose, which means what you permit will be permitted, and what you do not permit will not be permitted, which basically means that you have a choice. You have a say-so. You have the ability, listen, you have the ability to decline the invitation of the enemy. Because the devil doesn't give you stuff you don't want. He takes what belongs to you. Right. That's his tactic. He's a thief, John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So his tactic is trying to take something, the value that you already have, even if you're not, and I've said this before, but it needs to be repeated. He wants to take something of value that you have, even if you're not aware that it's of value.
Right.
He's not trying to give you sickness. He's trying to take your healing. Because the Bible says you're the healed of the Lord. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. The devil's not trying to take your, he's not trying to give you disharmony and frustration. He's trying to take your peace. But Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it. So the devil's not trying to take your, he's not trying to give you poverty. Oh, the devil's trying to give me cancer. The devil can't give you cancer. He's just trying to take your health. But if you waken up, we awaken to the level of, wait a minute, I have a say-so. Now, you might not be at that level yet, but you can be. Because Romans 10 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Faith comes. It grows. There's exceeding faith. There's little faith. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. If you don't want it, you can wait till Christmas Day. You can wait till they hand you the present and you sit there. Like when I was a kid, that we'd all sit in different sections. And our parents would bring it to us. It wasn't to be organized. It was so we didn't notice that my younger sister got more than we did. It's just, it is what it is. I'm coping. I'm working through the process. But you'd sit there and they'd say, here's your present with your name on it. I always wondered how they knew that, because at that point I didn't see any names. I just wondered if they were giving some of mine away. You'd sit there and you put your hands out and they said, here you go, here's your present. And that's a nice thing. And when you get to heaven, God will say, here you go. But he also says, if you want to, if you can find it, if you can see it, if you can see it under the tree, you're welcome to it now. Again, it doesn't mean you're a bad person if you don't. You can wait to heaven to run, jump, shout. But if you can see it under the tree, ooh, I like that. If you can see it under the tree, just to let you know, it belongs to you. It's there waiting for you.
Amen.
If you can see it under the tree, you can live in freedom. If you see it under the tree, you can live with the joy of the Lord as your strength. If you see it under the tree, you can walk into health. If you see it under the tree, you'll be strong and courageous. Even if you might feel weak, the Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Why? Because they've gotten a faith vision, a clarity vision. It's not mind over matter. It's revelation of the word over the circumstances that is temporary, which means subject to change. And the Bible says, don't focus on the temporal or the things that can change. Focus on the changer, not the thing to be changed. Focus on the changer. Focus on what brings the change, not the thing that needs to be changed. Some of us stare and say, ew, I wish it would change. You're spending all your time focused on what needs to be changed. Start looking at what brings the change.
Amen.
But God, verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the things, all things, even the deep things of God. Now we have received, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. See, the Holy Spirit reveals the word of God. And what is he doing when you get that revelation of God's word? Wait a minute. I've been told this, but now the Lord shows me this. Wait a minute, Abram said. My whole life I thought I would be childless and never have a change in my future, never have children. But now you're telling me I can. Not by me, but by you. Romans 4 says he was fully persuaded that the God who made the promise was well able.
Amen.
To do what he promised.
Yes.
Wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Your natural mind, what is the natural mind? The natural mind is the perspective or attitude, if you will, that everything, the final decision is based on what you feel, hear, or see. Well, I'll believe it if I see it. That's how the world works. God says, I'll give you a vision of what the others can't see. And I'll show you how I can do what is in the realm of God and bring it into the realm of this natural world.
Amen.
It's not an overnight. This is not a lottery ticket. Ooh, I'm going to try this. I'm going to drop some money in a bucket, and I expect a hundredfold, hundredfold return by Monday. Pastor, it's Tuesday, and I haven't seen anything. You misunderstand. This is not a lottery ticket. Which gives us the reason why I believe God does it this way. Are you listening? Because more than you just having it, he wants you to become it. It's one thing to have blessing. It's another thing to be a blessing. Because it's the journey of patience. You don't do it one time. You walk this out. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. It's a walk of faith. The cadence of God. It's not only important for you to become, it's also the principle of the thing, the principles that are the truth that will help you receive it will also be the truth that will help you keep it.
Yes.
Because people don't realize many times that it is like a military mindset. The worst thing you could do for a country without a military is to give them gold. The worst thing you could do to a country without a strong military is to make them blessed. Many remember this. Remember when Kuwait had all that oil and all their gold? Didn't take long to Iraq and Iran decided they needed that money. And what made them appealing is that they had no military to defend themselves. So they had blessing, but no power. Getting quiet. We want God to fix it, but if we don't learn to develop the strength of faith and the power of God, then when we have it, we won't keep it long. Have you ever noticed someone, they get it, and they don't end up keeping it? I mean, some of you have been buying lottery tickets, but the history shows that the odds of you winning, it's your money. But if you do win, do you realize the majority of the people who win a lottery are worse off financially in 7 years? Why? Because they had the money, but they didn't learn how to maintain or keep what they had. So they took the same bad principles of what they had didn't have before, and they used it when they had it now, and they lost it.
Yes.
Listen, I'm not going to be political, but you can give everybody in the country the same income. And you think that solves anything. It won't. Because the people that have learned to make money will get the money from the people that didn't learn how to manage their money. Not some will be by trickery. Others will be by good business principles. Because people will get a check. Oh, I didn't earn this. This is fun. Let's go blow it. And within 30 days, they'll have blown all their money. Some others will say, oh, this is good money. I'm going to invest it to see if I can grow it.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to open up something to sell it to see if I can make more.
Right.
It's not all about meaning just, oh, everybody needs to make a minimum income. Then they won't keep it.
Right.
We think that if everybody was given the same amount of money, everybody would be equal. No, they won't. Because the first person is going to say, oh, I'm going to go gamble this away. And within hours, they'll have lost it all.
Yep.
Do you see the point?
Yeah.
If God gave you everything that already belonged to you without you having a revelation, then the next 30 days, the devil would have already taken it from you.
Yep.
And you'll be back in the cycle again. But if he can grow your faith and you become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you walk through the process, and all of a sudden the same faith that you used to receive it from God, and you understand the power of God and the covenant of God, when the devil comes to try to take it from you, you'll be like,
Hey.
I've already learned that you can't stop me, and I'm not going to let you steal from me. Because if he can steal from you, then he can stop you. But when you learn that he can't stop you, then you can realize that you've got to come back here, little devil, and put back. Because the Bible says if you catch a thief, he has to restore, come on, 7 times. That's a whole nother level. You say, you need to put it back. No. And he's like, is that enough? No, no, that's what you took from me. You owe me another 6 more of those. Right. Come on, people. If you don't know the authority, who you are, then when you go to receive it, you won't be able to keep it.
Right.
But when you understand the devil can't stop you, then he can't steal from you. And that's what God wants you to do. Because he's not going to bless you just so you can hold it. He's going to bless you because when you get blessed from God, when he tells you to give, you'll release it because you know your source is from heaven. You'll look at life differently because when God asks you to do something, it could be finances, it could be helping somebody, praying for somebody, you'll walk in a different level of authority because you all of a sudden realize that the devil truly, according to the word of God, it says that the devil is under your feet. It literally says that you are a master of demonic powers, which means when you walk in as light, John 1, darkness cannot keep you out. Say, I'm the light. Come on, shout, I'm the light. Jesus said, I'm the light. And they told the disciples, you're the light. Why? Because they need to realize it. And John 1 says it, that when light came, darkness could not stop. You'll never walk into a room and turn on a light switch in a dark room without the light turning on. And you see darkness disappear. Because the absence of light is what is defining darkness. The only time you see that is when there's no light bulb or no power. And some of you are flipping switches, but you have no power. And darkness is sitting there, and you're like, what's the problem, preacher? I'm doing what you told, but you haven't plugged in to the power. The Bible does say resist the devil, he will flee. But before that, it says submit yourself under God. See, what am I doing? I'm getting back to the cross. I'm getting back to the tree. And if I can see my what belongs to me under the tree, I can have it. And when the devil says, you can't do it, you can look at him and say, no one invited you to this. But now that you're here, why don't you pull up a chair and sit? Because he did say he prepared provision for me in the midst of my enemies. I want you to watch, devil, what God's doing for me. I don't need you gone. There's some people, you don't need them to get up for God to bless you. You want them around so they see that they can't stop you. I don't need no demon-possessed person, no devil or stupid idiot telling me, well, if I was around, I would have never allowed you to have that. You need to let them know while they're still close enough to watch, they can't stop what God is doing. You can't stop. You're not big enough. David Oyedepo shares a story how they came to him and somebody in his family was, they were getting ready to commit him to a mental home. And he said, put him in my car. I want to see what demon can sit in the same car that I sit in. He said he got to the car. They had him in the, he sat down in the car. He said there was no rebuking. There was no prayer. He said that demon broke and left the moment he sat down. Why? Because he's operating a level of authority that he had understanding revelation that he was connected to God at a level that if he walked in, Jesus walks in. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, by the authority of that name, I break every demon off your life. Every addiction, every taste for the addiction, I set you free in the name of Jesus. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Say, not here, devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over the next few weeks, we're going to get into some of the things that the Bible talks about that belong to you. But I want you to understand the process. God's not trying to play a game with you. He's not trying to get you to jump through hoops. He's wanting you to walk through his process because it's not only bringing to you what belongs to you. It's developing you so that you understand. You can tell the devil. Bye-bye, Felicia. You're not important to me. I'm not going to acknowledge you. You can't stop me, and you can't steal from me. What would happen if you walked into your work? What would happen if you had that faith and you walked into your doctor's appointment? What would happen if you walked in and looked at your checkbook? If you had the idea of the devil, you can no longer stop me and you cannot steal from me. Matthew 13. Because the truth of the seed of God's word is producing faith that's now producing fruit to the glory of God. It belongs to you.
Amen.
Now, will everybody have it? No. And what ticks me off in the church world is when people that should know don't know. And they begin to say stuff, well, I guess it wasn't the Lord's will. You smack them hard. And then pray for me because I'll be soon. They don't know what they're talking about. Will it happen for everybody? No. But is it available to every Christian?
Yes.
Yes. It's like salvation. The blood of Jesus could save every person. Will every person get saved? Because it's the will of God that none should perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Will everyone get saved? No. Can every person get saved?
Yes.
But it's our willingness to pursue. That's why James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. If we don't pursue, we can't sit back and say, God, it's your fault. No. It's our opportunity to live at what God has available for us. Now we can wait till we get to heaven and praise God. Praise God. And David said, death, grave, where's your sting? Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we can also bring it into this earth here now. If you can see it under the tree, you can have it today.
Amen.
Amen. Take the next 30 seconds, give the Lord a lot of his praise and gift. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Hallelujah. I was just thinking there's probably somebody here that you should begin to see, begin to have the revelation, the imagery on the inside that God begins to reveal to you. Wait a minute, you don't have to settle for whatever. You don't have to settle for people to talk to you that way. You don't have to settle with life treating you that way. You don't have to settle with living down that path. No, you don't have to settle. By faith, through patience, we inherit the promises of God. Amen. Amen. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking for you to join a church, denomination, religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and he's your Lord and Savior? With every head bowed, no one looking around, no one moving around, I'm going to ask you, in the way you process and the way you experience, is Jesus Christ real? If he's not, he can be. If he's not, he can be. To me, one of the greatest miracles is salvation. We come from darkness into light. We come into the family of God. Our sins are forgiven. Our conscience is made clear. But most importantly, we come into a real relationship where we know within our heart that Jesus is real and he's our Lord and Savior. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. If you open up, if you respond to me, if he's dealing with you right now about the condition of your heart, he's letting you know that I want to come in. I want to forgive you. I want to cleanse you. I want you to know the life that I can give you. I want you to know me. We're going to pray this prayer. Let it come from your heart. Let it come from your heart. Just speak it with your mouth, because Romans tells us with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let this prayer come from your heart if you don't know him right now. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come in my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you will. Hallelujah. I know we've gone a little longer than normal, but if you're here, you prayed that prayer, and maybe you've prayed that prayer before and thought, Pastor, I try to live for the Lord, but it seems like it's a struggle. Do you know one of the promises of God is that you could have spiritual strength? The Bible says strength that strengthens your inner person by the might of the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I'm going to pray a prayer real quick. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to be able to stand for the Lord outside these doors. It's one thing to stand up for the Lord and people are clapping for you. It's another thing to stand up for Jesus. And I believe we are in the last days. And if any time, this is the time we need men and women of God. Not people with Christian tags, but real men and women of God at every level and every part of business and industry that knows the Lord and is willing to stand up. Not be weird, not be rude, but be real. God's not going to make you something you're not, but he can use you where you're at. And if you're like, I want to be used by God, I want that courage, that strength, that boldness in those moments that I'll stand up. Because if we can't stand up for Jesus when people are applauding, how do we stand up for Jesus when people are mocking and trying to talk us out of serving him or trying to get us to do things we should not? So not with your head bowed, not with your eyes closed, but with your eyes wide open, I want you to know that we're watching, but we're going to celebrate. I'm going to pray a prayer for those who will stand in the next 10 seconds at the count of three that you would have and receive from heaven supernatural strength. Be strengthened with might, the King James says. Strengthened with might in the inner man by the Holy Spirit. Because God doesn't want you to try to live for him without him. Don't you get that? It's all about Jesus. And if you say, maybe you just prayed that prayer. Maybe you've prayed it before, but you're struggling with having that boldness to stand up for him. At the count of three, I believe this is so needed in our world today. Again, I'm not telling you have to witness to every person you see. But you need to witness when the Lord tells you to witness. And to stand up against the opposition of the enemy to get you to sin. Whoever I'm talking to at the count of three, I want you to be, if you're bold and stand quickly, if you're shy, do it at your pace, but I want those who are bold to stand up quick to encourage those who are shy. But at the count of three, I want you to stand up, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and then you can sit right back down. One, two, three. In Jesus' name, stand up if you need that. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Here's what I want you to do. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, as they lift their hands toward heaven, I, according to the promise of your word, I speak that blessing. I pray that the Holy Spirit would strengthen their spirit by the anointing of heaven, and that in the days ahead, if there is any opportunity the enemy would try to throw in their path to pull them away or cause them to bow their knee, that they would have supernatural strength to stand strong. And we give you praise now in the name of Jesus. I loose that in their life. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you.